In this Hebrew passage, we see the unshakable kingdom talked about. In the passage of chapter 11, we read about faith and these people who had faith and they followed the Lord and they believed. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, we see we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people cheering us on, people who've gone before, people who've run the race, finished the race. And it talks about us drawing near with faith, having faith in the Lord. And then in verses 3 and the following, we see this whole notion of don't grow weary, but keep going. Keep going. Get in the race. Get out of the pit stop. Get in the race. And then we come to this passage in verses 18 and following, and I'm going to read these words. Before I read the words, let me remind you that the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew people who obviously are Jews, and they're steeped in their Judaism. But because of persecution, we're slipping back into their Judaism and starting to distance themselves from Christ. And the whole book is written to tell them, don't give up, keep going. Don't let the persecution get to you, keep going. Other people have run the track before you. So here we come to verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. Quote, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. End quote. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the immutable angels in festive gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. Much less will we escape if we reject the warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Ending the reading of the word. In those words, we see a great distinction. And it's a distinction we don't think a lot about because we don't come through the lens of the Old Covenant, New Covenant. We learn about it, but we don't come through the lens of that covenant. He's speaking their language. He's telling them. He's saying the relationship you did have with God, God has changed that relationship, or he has opened the door to a new kind of relationship. Let's go back in our thinking. Before the law of Moses came, Paul writes and he says, were people guilty of breaking the law? No, because there was no law to be guilty of. They were just sinful folk, and then all of a sudden the law came, and when the law came, there was a lens and it revealed how evil people really were. I want to say to us, we don't have a problem with anybody out there. We don't have a problem with others. We have a God problem. Because if we relate to God through the lens of the law, then we are in big trouble. You were born, I don't care how you describe it, total depravity, original sin, whatever phrase you come up with, you are a person born apart from God. You're a person born undone, without hope. But he is saying here that because of Jesus Christ, we no longer approach God and relate to him through the law. We don't have to offer a sacrifice as an animal sacrifice, as a symbol of the cleansing of sin. We now have Jesus who has shed his blood, and he is the sacrifice so that by grace we can be saved. I don't earn salvation, I receive salvation. And I think about this line in here, and it said they were scared to go to Mount Sinai. And if you see my little outline here, number one there, there's a mountain that is shakable. The heavenly Mount Zion is way better than the fierce Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was a scary place. God was there, and people could not approach God. Moses was scared. Moses, come up here. No, I'm not going up on that mountain. If you come too close, you get stoned, you die. Mount Sinai was far away. People cringed in fear. Mount Zion, however, is near. God has come near. The church of the firstborn and the general assembly is here. There's nothing more covenantal. There's nothing better than when we see the breaking of bread. When they did that in Acts daily, it says they were given to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship and a prayer. In a few minutes, in our sense, we'll get out broken bread and we will sup with one another. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't eat with anybody, but you eat with people who are like-minded. And we are like-minded in that we humbly approach the Lord and we come and we eat together. I remember years ago, I don't know why this stuck with me. We went to a place, and it was out in St. Clair County, and it was a place called Lynch Lake. Anybody ever heard of Lynch Lake? At the time, the Hannah Home for Abused Moms was there. And there were these, obviously, ladies who were seeking refuge and their kids and so forth. And we go out and support, do work and so forth. But we took a big picnic out there one day, and we had the ladies who were there, and they came, and we all ate a big picnic together. And one of the ladies commented, and she said, "Many people bring us food to eat, but you're the first group that has ever come and eaten with us. When we come to the table, we eat together." All. The kingdom of God is for all. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, for all. I look at Mount Sinai being far off. God is the judge. And I look at this new mountain, Mount Zion, where God is again Father. And he draws us unto himself. At Mount Sinai, you find death. The person who touched it died. At Mount Sinai, you found fire. Fire can be good. Fire can also be real scary. You find darkness. You find gloom, according to what we see in Scripture. You find storms. You find war. And you find an unbearable command. Keep the law. And the refrain in the Bible, I can't keep the law. I tried. I can't do it. And so they would create ways of trying to keep the law so that they felt better about themselves. And the law book grew from this to this. And by the time Jesus came along, there were so many laws you couldn't look the wrong way and you'd broken some Pharisaical law. But there is an unshakable kingdom that's better than the shakable one. It is the principle of shakeability. When you shake it, does it break? I like bridges. Christy does not like bridges. She especially does not like high bridges. And we go over bridges and I'll make comments. I hope those civil engineers knew what they were doing. I do that sometimes, and I do it once, and she tells me real quickly in nice terms that I'm not to speak like that anymore. And we cross the bridge, and you simply say, I got faith in the bridge. Now, I've been on some bridges before that I didn't have a lot of faith in. I said, I don't know. But there's a principle of shakeability. If the earthquake comes, will it shake? By the way, did you know there are 50 earthquakes on Earth a day, at least? Somewhere around 20,000 a year. California is not the king of earthquakes. In the United States, Alaska is around 1,000 a month. Most of these you wouldn't know, I guess. Somebody keeps up with all this stuff. And I'm starting to think, well, the earth shakes. 1994, they created what they believe was the first house that was called an earthquake-proof house. I remember seeing something about buildings and buildings on the West Coast, and it showed how they built this big building, and they said they got the idea from a long piece of grass and how the grass in the yard would give it this. And they built the building so it would give this. It slipped to move a little bit, but we'll be okay. These kind of things just really fascinate me to think about. But I think about how when your life is shaken, do you crumble? With the Lord in us, we can have an unshakable kingdom. Yeah, the storms are going to come. I'm going to get knocked flat. Things are not going to go my way. I will suffer, but I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken from my belief in the Lord, my trust in the Lord. I'm with him. I have durability, the principle of durability. I think about how we look for alternatives so much of the time. We look for self-help. We look to grow and we look to get better. Instead of working from the inside out, Lord, create in me a new heart. Cleanse me, O Lord. Well, at Mount Zion, you're going to find the city of the heavenly God. You're going to find thousands of joyful angels, as we see in Scripture, the church of the firstborn. You're going to find God, and God is still judge. But according to what we read in Revelation chapter 20, when you are born of Christ, you don't fear the judge. Because there's two books. There's the white throne judgment, and there's the Lamb's book of life. And my name is written there. I think about how at Mount Zion we find the spirit of righteous people who have been made perfect. They have been completed. These people who've run the race, they're completed. I'm not heavenly. I'm just forgiven. I'm not perfect, but I am maturing. I'm not there, but I'm on the journey. And so let me leave you with these pushes, and then we will partake of Holy Communion together. Don't tremble with fear any longer. Mount Sinai has become Mount Zion. Don't fear. Instead, throw yourself into the Lord. Don't be guilty of the past. Be free from the past. God, when He undoes the past, it's gone. It's gone completely. Triumph with faith. I push you. Keep believing. Keep believing. Don't not believe. When you can't believe, when you doubt the hardest, instead of doubting the Lord, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts. And say, Lord, I'm not going to be shaken here. And Lord, I'm having a hard time believing. Could you help me believe more? Just like Cornelius came to the Lord, Lord, and said, do you believe as I believe? Lord, help me in my unbelief. I believe, but I need help believing all the way. You can ask the Lord for that. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. The old covenant tried to motivate people with a threat of condemnation. The new covenant motivates people with a promise of unconditional blessings. I want the blessings of the Lord. Don't reject His invitation to grace. If you don't know where you stand with the Lord, I invite you right now to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I want You, Your grace to save my soul. I want to know You. But not a bunch of things to do, just something to receive. Otherwise, you'll still stand at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is a place where there is the harsh casting out judgment of God. But at Mount Zion, we find the freedom that only Christ can bring. So I simply close with this. Receive God's unshakable kingdom. As it says at the end of the passage, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us offer to God acceptable worship. Paul writes about this acceptable worship. He said, my reasonable sacrifice is to give everything I got. My body, my mind, my spirit, I give it to the Lord. That's my reasonable. He says reasonable. It sounds like it's extreme. Reasonable sacrifice of worship. We come to this place together today. And we have a reasonable worship. An acceptable worship. Cain and Abel, the two brothers that are mentioned in Scripture. Cain brought a sacrifice to the Lord that was not accepted. Abel brought one that was accepted. What was the difference? Was it that one was a farmer and one was a cattleman? Was that the difference? No. The difference was in the heart of the sacrifice. I give to You fully, Lord. I don't have anything to offer You. Nothing. But I give it to You. I lay my life down before You, Lord. I read about a lady, and she was involved in this homeless shelter. And her name was Evelyn, and she wrote, and she said, some of the stories were so good, and I served, and I thought it was just a tremendous time. But I remember there was this one lady over there, and she was doing the dishes, and as I watched her do the dishes, I said, isn't that great? And look at how she's really improving her lot in life. And I was overwhelmed, and the lady was so thankful for nightgowns that had been brought in. And Evelyn said, I started to think about all the nightgowns I have in my drawer. There was another lady over there. Her name was Rowdy Rachel. And Rowdy Rachel had a PhD in art history. But her life had started to slowly slip away. She was the mother of five children, and her life crumbled around her, and she ended up in this homeless shelter. And there was Carol on the other side of the room, and she was laying down, reading a King James Bible, and she was very sullen. And the operator of the shelter said, she is a trained soprano. He used to sing all over the place. And Evelyn said, as I stood around and looked at these ladies, I prayed and I started thinking, I said, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not one of these. But as she kept looking around and studying, she started to realize, hey, wait a minute. I have 5 kids like that lady. I have a career like her. I participate in arts like she used to do. And then she started thinking and she changed her prayer. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like them, to, Lord, by your grace, I am one of them. I have simply been saved by grace. Let me show grace to them as you have showed grace to me. And I think about how there are so many people around us who are shaken. They're shaken to the core. We live among them. We live next door to them. We work with them. We may even live in the same house with them. And they're shaken to the core. And I'd like to say to you that the Lord will not give you a perfect life here, but He will give you an unshakable life here. No matter the valley or the mountaintop, you can rest assured that God is earthquake proof in His life.